The Yemeni government sent a terse message today. The ceasefire has ended. Sources inside the country say forces loyal to the president fired shells and missiles into the crowds in the capital.
Introducing tanks and heavy artillery into Tahrir Square against all the lone youths who did not possess any weapons. All I can say is your punishment is with God, Ali Abdullah Saleh.
That protester spoke to Al Jazeera yesterday. More than 300 people have been killed in fighting since the protests in Yemen began 4 months ago.
President Saleh has gotten three chances to leave peacefully so far and refused them all. This may be the president choosing civil war over exile. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, May 31st.
And in the Top's morning headlines, chaos in Yemen. It seems that chaos rules there. A ceasefire, so to speak, has fallen apart. There you can hear it. The sound of fighting returning to the streets of Sana'a this morning after government forces attacked the home of a powerful tribal leader. Another flashpoint in the south, 21 government soldiers reportedly killed overnight, trying to retake a city from militant fighters with suspected links to al-Qaeda. That city is near a sea lane where about 3 million barrels of oil pass daily. We'll talk in a few minutes if the unrest is creating more of a haven for al-Qaeda, with the New York Times' Nick Kristof, as well as a live voice from the ground.
For the first time, the Pentagon says cyber attacks coming from another country can constitute an act of war. That opens the door for the U.S. to respond to cyber attacks using traditional military force. One military official puts it this way to the Wall Street Journal: if you shut down our power grid, maybe we'll put a missile down one of your smokestacks. There are questions, though, about whether or not the U.S. can ever be certain of the origin of a cyber attack.
Housing market expected to reach a new bottom today, officially. Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Index, released later this morning, is expected to show prices of existing homes sinking once again in March, below levels now seen 2 years ago.
And then Afghan President Hamid Karzai says he'll no longer allow NATO airstrikes on houses in his country.
The Afghan people can no longer tolerate these attacks on their homes.
Karzai's remarks follow a recent NATO strike that mistakenly killed a number of women and children while they slept. Across the border, Pakistani warplanes bombed Taliban positions this morning. It's believed to be the start of an offensive against Taliban fighters that are dug in along the border.
In our reporting of ceasefires that have not been heralded, Libya's rebels have turned down an offer of a truce by Muammar Gaddafi this morning. He says he must step down. They said he must step down first. And there's a report this morning that shows Muammar Gaddafi almost became one of the largest shareholders in Goldman Sachs a few years back. The Wall Street Journal reports Goldman invested more than $1 billion of Libyan money controlled by Gaddafi, but lost more than 98% of it when the market tanked in 2008. As compensation, the bank reportedly offered Libya the chance to become one of its biggest shareholders, but Gaddafi reportedly declined.
Now to Americans trying to rebuild their lives after some recent very tragic natural disasters. Many people left homeless by a tornado in Joplin, Missouri, may be placed in rental homes an hour's drive away. FEMA says bringing in trailers to an area with a lot of tornado activity may not be the best idea. And people in Tunica, Mississippi are being allowed back into their flooded neighborhoods. Many residents say they came home to find a thick layer of mud coating just about everything in sight. And the Miami Heat and Dallas Mavericks square off in Game 1 of the NBA Finals tonight. Asian and European markets are up. Futures are up. The Dow will start at 12,441. The S&P at 1,331. The Nasdaq at 2,336. In a few minutes, as John said, we're going to talk more about the unrest in Yemen, which appears to be spreading all through the entire country. But a philosophical question: what is money and what is it worth? The paper that it's printed on? The New York Times' Louise Story brings us a story out of Utah in just about a half an hour. And all morning, we're talking about World No Tobacco Day. We want to hear your stories of quitting, or perhaps your stories of not being able to quit. Give us some advice. How'd you do it if you did? Call 8778-MY-TAKE.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.